Welcome to the Amplify Clearwater Show, powered by 13th Avenue Media. We are very excited to take you on a journey to learn more about the incredible businesses, nonprofits, and community leaders that are here in Clearwater and Clearwater Beach. If you feel so inclined, please share this with somebody who might also enjoy it, subscribe, and write a review. Thank you for joining us and enjoy the show.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the show. My name is Sharon Feckety. I am the co-founder. I'm not the co-founder. I'm the founder. What am I even talking about? Why am I giving myself a co-founder title today?
She's into the eggnog already, people.
The founder of 13th Avenue Media. I co-host this show with Amanda Payne, the CEO and president of the fabulous Amplify Clearwater. Hello, Amanda.
Hello, everyone. Always thanks good. For tuning in.
Yes, always a pleasure. Today, we have a very special guest. I am very excited to have this conversation with Frank Dame, who is the CEO of our favorite Clearwater Marine Aquarium. Frank, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it very much.
Well, we're excited to have this chat. I feel like it's very important for me to say that dolphins are my spiritual animal.
They are most people's, and not only people, pets as well.
Ooh, what I would do to have a dolphin as a pet.
I'm pretty sure that may not be legal. But
I'll just continue to visit them at your aquarium. Yeah.
That sounds great to me. You could use the attendance.
So Frank, I'm excited to have this conversation mostly because I've never had the great pleasure of talking to you. Amanda, of course, knows you well, and you sit on the board, and we're going to have a great conversation about all that you do in our community. But I know that you walked into this role on just a marker kind of year, right? You have been the COO previously, when David Yates was CEO of the company, but January 2020, when they made the announcement, and then in March, you took over, and then a global pandemic.
Well, it was a very spectacular entry into the CEO position, because I assumed it on March 16th, and March 16th, we closed the gates on CMA for 2 months. So it was a real shock to me to be doing that, but quite the honor to be able to assume the role of CEO, and in a very difficult time, that's for sure. That wasn't so much of an honor, but I am pleased and honored to be able to lead this organization in the best possible means I can in order to make it survive. And right now it is a big challenge, I can say that.
Yes, but in reading about you and watching some interviews with David, I was so nice to hear the kind words that were expressed and his confidence in your ability to take on this role. And you had the same fondness, I assume, you will tell us yourself, for him previously. So I think that it was kind of left in this great position for you to move into this role, but then you really had to make some serious shifts in 2020 to handle what's been going on in this pandemic. Can you talk to us a little bit about that?
I sure can, because this isn't our first rodeo in dealing with adversity. In 2006, when I got involved, and David was shortly before me, he became the CEO in February of 2006, I believe, and it was later, several months later, that I got involved with the aquarium because of a treasurer of the board who invited me to come to the aquarium and look it over and do some counseling for David and him because it was a boat donation program that was failing a bit, and I happened to be a boat broker at the time and owned a yacht delivery service and a few other things after my retirement with Progress Telecom. And so David came on board. The aquarium was really, really struggling. We had about 75,000 attendees a year in the aquarium, and we barely could make the payroll. In fact, I loaned the aquarium $100,000 for a period of time to make payroll, basically. Yeah. And so I got involved with him, and then shortly after my little consulting stint with him, they invited me onto the board, and then I became chairman of the board in 2007. And David and I shared a lot of sentiments as to how we run the aquarium, because most nonprofits, you know, depend on donations and things, and it certainly Clearwater Marine Aquarium did as well. But we looked at that, and both of us came from a business background. David was former CEO of Ironman, and I was a president of GTE Leasing Corporation. And then when the merger happened between Bell Atlantic and GTE, I became the vice president general manager for Verizon Credit. And then I departed from there, and I went into the .com era and thought I was going to make millions of dollars in with Progress Telecom, and they wound up merging with Epic Communications, who ultimately went bankrupt. And I left them in 2002 and said, I kind of don't want to do any more corporate world stuff. So that's how I got involved with not only the aquarium, but I was on the Marine Advisory Board for the city, and the Community Development Board. I chaired that the last year I was on it, but I was on it for 8 years and was doing a lot of civic stuff, part of the Charter Review Committee. So when I got on the board with the aquarium, I knew a lot of people in the city, and the city owned the land that we were on. So that was a advantageous move for me and for the aquarium. Mm-hmm. And in 2008, October of 2008, they needed a COO. And I became a paid employee then. And David wanted me to come on as COO because we shared the same philosophies. David, he was an excellent marketeer. And he was a visionary. I've got to tell you, he had a vision for the aquarium early on, saying that the story of Winner, who lost her tail in a crab trap line, excuse me, it was an amazing story of survival for her.
Yes.
And so he said, gosh, you know, we're struggling and all that. Let's put together a media plan to promote, you know, the work we do here and the survival of Winter, and also run this place like a business. And I liked that idea. I said, yeah, I don't want to depend on donations. Let's run it like a real business and manage it professionally and improve the guest experience, add some food service. We had a gift shop that was struggling, but we improved the merchandising and everything. And so we did run it like a business, and we built from the 75,000 attendees in 2006 to about 2010, we had about 220,000 wow. attendees a year. And then as David kept promoting the story of Winter, it wound up on Good Morning America and the Today Show, and it was on Oprah show, the story, and Reader's Digest and all that. Well, one of those shows, I think it was Good Morning America, was picked up by the president of marketing for Alcon, Richard Ingberg. And Richard called David and said, hey, you know, would you be interested in a possible movie for this? And we had a book that Craig Hatkoff and David co-wrote, basically, and it was called Winter's Tale. And so we had some success in that end of the business. And Richard and David talked for several years, actually. And it turned out that one of the co-founders of Alcon, Andrew Koso, was an Ironman runner. And David was the former CEO of Ironman. So they started a dialogue, and that led to
connection was made. I mean, that
yeah, it was
coincidence is amazing.
But we needed money. I mean, they, you know, the state of Florida eliminated their incentives basically for movies and stuff. And so we struggled to get, we needed to raise $5 million to support the movie production. And so we went on our campaign to do that. And David was very instrumental in going to Tallahassee and talking to Charlie Crist at the time, I believe. We were able to get money to support the Alcon filming in Clearwater, which mm-hmm. was amazing at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so that started the contract. We got a contract. We got a film contract, and they began filming in 2010. And an amazing situation. I mean, I couldn't believe the amount of work that goes into a film like that.
Mm.
And I never in my wildest dreams felt that I would ever be a part of a movie, you know, production, if you will. And I didn't know what the heck we were doing at that time. But I do remember getting out of the car one morning, and I think it was a director of photography came up to me and he said, "Frank, do you know what this movie's going to do to you guys?" And I said, "Yeah, it's going to increase our attendance." He says, looks at me and he says, "You don't have a clue." I said, "I guess not." Well, you know, the movie came out in September of 2011. Mm-hmm. And I really didn't have a clue. And our attendance exploded from the 220,000 that we had in 2010 to 743,000 after the movie, the year after the movie. And I mean to tell you, we had a line of people in the middle of the summer, the heat of the summer, all the way from all the way from CMA to Island Way Grill, which is the restaurant adjacent to us.
Oh, I know, because it used to annoy me every time I try to park at that restaurant.
Oh gosh. and you know, I live in Island Estates.
Uh-huh.
And the community was so upset with us about all the traffic and everything that I couldn't even walk my dog without getting stared at.
You needed a disguise, Frank.
I did. I really did. And so at any rate, that after the first movie, who would have thought a second movie would come along? But the night of the wrap party, which happened to be over at the Island Way Grill, we got a call about 5 o'clock in the afternoon saying, "Hey, we just rescued another dolphin in, ironically, the same area as Winter." And this dolphin was nursing on a dead mother. And they said, "Would you have room for this dolphin?" We said, "Yes, we do." And so the dolphin came that night of the movie wrap. And we had lights and everything, you know, on about 11 o'clock is when it arrived. And the people that were partying over at Island Way Grill, they were saying, "What the heck? We thought we stopped filming, you know," and they thought we were filming again. And so some of them wandered over and they actually saw the rescue of Hope. And, you know, Hope came from the East Coast, was driven over to us. And we put her in what's now Mavis's Hideaway, but it was a round 40-foot round pool. And we put her in that, and we had 24-hour care for her during that time, and we didn't think she would survive. She was about 55 pounds and really emaciated.
Mm.
And we called in experts to come in and give us the best care that we could get for her, and she survived. And so you know, we started thinking about that, and of course the name came up, Hope for Winter. Mm. And that's how that happened. Well, David is tenacious and he is creative, and he said, "You know, this could be another movie." And Alcon basically poo-pooed it and said, "You can't have a movie, a sequel of a real life story that you've just told." And David said, "Oh yes, I can." And he started writing the script, kind of, you know, and sent it to Alcon, and he sold him on the fact that we could produce another movie. So lo and behold, in 2015, we had the second movie.
Unbelievable.
And, that was released in September as well. Now, that didn't do as good in the box office. The first movie during the second week of the first movie, we became the number one box office hit. Mm-hmm. The second movie didn't do quite as well, but because of our awareness in 43 different countries, our attendance went up to almost 800,000 after the second movie. And so again, I'm a deer in headlights trying to figure out how to manage the crowds. It, you know, the fire department visited me several times to say, you guys are too overcrowded and I'm going to shut you down. And so I had to be very kind to the fire marshal. And
I bet you did. You know? Frank, this is really and truly an incredible story. I feel so honored to hear that. I had no idea that phone call came on the day of the wrap up. I was at one of the premieres at Ruth Eckert of the second movie. And who would have thought that you would have just two movies based around this once tiny, a little space in Clearwater, and now the international attention that it has is really outrageous. I wanna talk a little bit about the thing that touches me most about that story and about this beautiful place that you are the CEO of. And that is the attraction of the children with disabilities that that have, you know, because of the story of Winter and because of the story of hope, have given so much hope to these children, and the passion and wonderful community that has surrounded these children. What has that been like for you and for everybody at the aquarium?
Well, it's really amazing. And you know, we started out with injured vets, and you know, the tail that Winter has irritates her when it's put on. And Hanger Corporation, who developed the tail, the prosthetic tail, actually developed what is called Winter's Gel, because they noticed that it was irritating the dolphin. And dolphins have a skin on them that's probably 6 or 7 times more sensitive than a human's. And so they developed this gel, and it turned out that the gel was adopted to people with artificial limbs. And those people, some of them couldn't even walk because of the pain. And then they could run with their prosthesis. Yeah. So we started out giving veterans free admission to the aquarium. And then we did notice that some kids were inspired, and we had a program that where we go every Christmas over to All Children's Hospital and give them plush, you know, winter plush toys and things like that to, you know, brighten their spirits during Christmas. And we started a program to invite those kids to come into the aquarium, Make-A-Wish Foundation kids and things like that, and Ronald McDonald House and that type of thing. And it turned into some stories that we set up a department, and a guy by the name of Thomas Poe right now coordinates all that for us and does an outstanding job. Mm-hmm. And we have children from all over the country that come in here and write letters. In fact, after the second movie, I believe we had over 10,000 letters on a weekend after that movie.
Wow.
So it's pretty amazing. But to watch some of these kids that come in here and see them on their last, you know, dying wish to come see Winter is amazing. And the inspiration that she does give to those kids, some of them, I remember one kid from I think it was South Carolina. He came in here and he was dying. And his mother, well, the hospital sent the child home and said, just make him comfortable. He's got about 2 weeks to live. Mm-hmm. And so the child, the mother asked the child, what would you like to do? He said, I'd like to meet Winter.
Oh, my
God. So they drove all night, and they came down in a van, and the child was on oxygen and mm-hmm. got out of a van, and the child's father was a firefighter, so we invited the Clearwater Fire Department over that morning for the child to see the fire truck, and we had a hook and ladder truck there that we were going to offer him to ride in. And the child got out of the car, and he was in a wheelchair, and he was on oxygen, and
It's a beautiful story, Frank.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he looked at that fire truck and then his head went down and he couldn't. He had no energy. Any rate, we brought him into the aquarium and we had all the firefighters in there and everything. And he saw Winter and he came alive.
Hmm.
And we actually put him in the water with Winter on Winter's float. And he just had a completely different attitude. So he got out of the water and then he did ride in the fire truck. And the child's still alive today and comes down here about every 3 months.
Oh my goodness. Frank, you weren't supposed to make me cry today. But oh my God, you are really and truly, you know, all I can say is you guys are doing God's work out there. It's really so much bigger than I'm sure what you could have ever imagined it to be. So I know I have to pitch this over to Amanda now because she wants to talk a lot about you, Frank, and we're happy to be able to let somebody brag on you for a minute. I know that you've been a big part of the city of Clearwater and sitting on the board of Amplify Clearwater, and I know how much you've done to help our community, which in turn helps people. So thank you for that. And Amanda, please go ahead while I grab a tissue.
Yeah, I think we both need one. If you see black streaks on my face in a few minutes, please just overlook them and ignore them. But you know, I really want to start by saying thank you to Frank. Frank is a pillar of our community. He is an asset unlike any other to Clearwater and to North Pinellas County and certainly to CMA. I talked to some of his team members at CMA prior to doing this, and I won't call them out, but they all just raved about Frank's leadership, about the right person at the right time. They couldn't imagine anyone else leading the aquarium during the shift and the challenges that we have faced in 2020 associated with the pandemic, and really continuing to lead that organization forward at a time when it's probably one of the most challenging times you've ever experienced. So they all love you, Frank. They're thrilled to have you as their leader, and they're looking to many more years of your leadership at the aquarium and being able to team with you and really do the next big and great things for not just our community, but for the aquarium itself.
I just have to say something that I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for all them, because I have a passion for them too. And I've never seen such dedication in any organization that I've ever been with or ever run than I have with CMA employees and volunteers. They give themselves, and you know, we had a pay cut in March that was pretty serious, and we're still in that pay cut, and these people are so dedicated that they continue to work for lower pay or no pay in the case of our volunteers, and they still show up and they do the work that we need to have done. And our work never stops. Even though we had to shut down and everything, we still had to feed the animals and you know, pay our bills and stuff like everybody else. But I just can't say enough for the employees that we have working at CMA.
You've got an amazing, amazing team. I'm a big fan of everyone there. And I have to say, you know, this is just a personal experience. As both of you know, and many people listening, I have two little boys, a two-year-old and a four-year-old. When my four-year-old turned three, we had prepared him to give up his pacifier because that was we're the parents that let him have it way too long, probably by most standards. But when he turned,
I still have mine, by the way.
Well, good, then maybe. we had prepared him that when he turned three, it was time to give up his pacifier, and I asked him what he wanted to do with it. He says, "I want to give it to the baby dolphins at CMA," is what he said. And so here I go, in full mom gear. Nobody, I did not go as president of the chamber. I didn't let anybody know that I was coming. I was in yoga pants and a sweatshirt. And we wrapped up his passies in a little box and put a little bow on it. And when I got there, I told a team member, "I just need somebody to take it and pretend we're giving it to the dolphins, if you don't mind." And my goodness, if they didn't come down with the filming crew and David Yates and the whole team came down to film JC giving his passies, and it's something that he still talks about today. And how, what, you know, he tells his little brother that when he turns three, he's got to give his to the Dolphins too. But it was just the sweetest thing. You know, I was, when David actually turned around and realized it was me standing there, he was surprised. And, you know, it was just a wonderful, that's the type of family that is at CMA. That is the type of community that they support, and community involvement, right? And support of our children and our families. And it's just a wonderful, it's just a wonderful environment. So I've told Frank on many occasions that at least my oldest son, they're not going to be able to get rid of him. As soon as he's old enough to come through the door to be a part of summer camps and volunteer, they're not going to be able to get rid of him. But I really want to speak, because I know our time is limited today, and it's been wonderful to talk about the aquarium and kind of, you know, watching it develop over the last 10 to 15 years and just the transformation that Frank has been able to aid in related to the aquarium. But I really want to talk about Frank and what he's meant to me over the last few years and to the chamber and to the business community. I met Frank a couple of years ago. He was instrumental in my hiring in the role of the original Beach Chamber president. And then I, you know, was able to really learn from him. And I've looked to him for guidance throughout a lot of this merger and a lot of the and through the challenging times that we have faced through the pandemic and really post-merger and growing and evolving Amplify. Frank served as the chamber president of the Beach Chamber. He also served on the regional chamber board, and he was instrumental as a part of the task force that made this merger happen. So to that, Frank, thank you. Thank you for your service to the business community. Thank you for your service to both chambers and now to Amplify. He's remained a board member of Amplify, and I couldn't have been more thrilled. And Frank, I will reach out to Frank on occasion just for his advice and his guidance. And he's always there to give a kind word, to encourage me, to support me. And that's just meant so much to me so personally. So I want to say thank you to that. And what I admire about Frank, and what there are many people in this community will say about Frank that I have found so telling about who he is as a person, is that he actually looks for opportunity to support and lift up women and opportunities. And he's done that at CMA. He's done that through the chamber. And he's made that part of his focus throughout his career, is identifying talent, especially those that lie within his female counterparts, and really supporting them, encouraging them, and lifting them up. So I want to be sure that I acknowledge that, Frank, that it is noticed. It's noticed throughout this community, and that it is appreciated very much.
Thank you so much. That's very flattering.
Frank, man, you know, I didn't know you at the beginning, but I think I've fallen in love. But I'm not giving you my pacifier, all right?
Oh, okay. Well, I've got my own still, so.
Frank, I have to say, it has been such an honor to be able to spend this time and have this conversation. I hope we get to do it again. I do know that you, like others in our community, we all need help in amplifying our business. So, you know, it makes perfect sense that you and David Pryor took media, you know, hello, I have a media company, and made a real change in the business of the aquarium and the nonprofit that you were running. It had certainly shown, really proud to always tell people about what we have going on in Clearwater. And you are really and truly, you're a great leader. It's very obvious just having this short conversation. So I appreciate the time that you've spent with us today.
Well, thank you very much. And I'm honored to be a part of this community. I'm honored to be able to contribute to the success of this community. And I know that right now we are at a precipice, so to speak. And I call it a crossing of the chasm. And we're on one summit and we got to get to the other side and not fall into the canyon, so to speak. And I believe that CMA, as well as other businesses in the community, if they can get on that other side and we can get past this pandemic, that this community is going to flourish again and be very, very successful in the tourism realm, and obviously the success for the community itself. So I'm looking forward to that sooner than later. I can tell you that.
Yes,
we are.
Everybody is.
Yes.
And I've got to commend Amanda as well, because she has navigated, you know, she stepped into her role at a very difficult time, trying to integrate two chambers that were kind of rivals at one point, and then hitting this pandemic. And she's done an outstanding job of navigating the rough waters that we've been in. Of late, especially. So thank you, Amanda.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, it's, I have a good board. I have good leadership to lean on. So I'm grateful.
Well, thank you so much. The word that you have behind you is very fitting for this episode today. Inspiration. You've been an inspiration to all of us. Thank you so much for being here, Frank. Happy holidays.
Thank you, and be safe.
You too.
Bye, Frank. Merry Christmas.
Same to you.
Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope you enjoyed the show, and we'd love for you to share it with somebody else who might be interested in learning more about Clearwater and Clearwater Beach. To learn more about sponsorship, please reach out to Jennifer Burrow. Her email address is Jenny, J-E-N-I, at amplifyclearwater.com. Thank you.